Yeah, this is your man, J.R. Perry, from Love Drops. You know, I keep it locked every Sunday to Channel Players Play, hosted by my man, K. Diddy, and Pretty Tony. So y'all keep it clubbing and keep it funky and keep it locked. Channel Players Play.
It's packed. Niggas don't know how to act. We the Mac.
Hey, 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 welcome to the show today. You know, we have Mr. Joe Scala be joining us, candidate for mayor from Henderson, Nevada. Tell us what's good. You know how we do here on Kind of Play a Play. We always try to bring you the most update, the most exciting news in your local area. So, again, welcome to the show, and let us get it going. Mr. Scala, how you doing? Are you with us? Hello, hello. All right, well, he'll be joining us pretty soon. So we're going to play something else. Let me see. We're going to play a little bit of music right here before I guess, join us. And we're going to get going with him. You know, Mr. Scala, of course, for those that you don't know, the candidate for mayor out of Henderson, Nevada, mayor-elect, and definitely he has some very interesting stuff to tell us today. So he'll be joining us shortly, so just stay tuned with us and roll with your boy, and he'll be in a minute, and we could do what we do.
Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Hold your applause. This is your song, not mine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please hold your applause. For I just applied logic. Keys open doors. Now I'm balcony, opera, black tux, binocular, black love. Stop it, I shouldn't be so popular. Main key popping up, face key popping up on the tube. I'm just watching Pacquiao box him up. How would I know HBO would get a shot of us? Sitting so close that we almost got snot on us. Please don't bow in my presence. How am I a legend? I just got 10 number one albums, maybe now 11. More hits than an hour 11. That is no reason to treat me like I'm somehow from out of heaven. Heaven knows that I've made my mistakes. That God, what a guy, as I say my grace. Who would have thought by making birds migrate? For the winter, I'll be fly all summer, might I say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Hold your applause. This is your song, not mine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Do me a favor, don't do me no favors. I'll can't do mine.
Hold me, baby.
We're really high tonight. We tipped the waiter $100 to keep the ice cold, right? We the last ones to keep the wise guys cold alive. If I can't live by my word, then I'd much rather die. No, no, don't thank me, it's just how my suit is stitched. I'm cut from a different cloth, I'm just who the shoe fits. Put a color for money like a Tom Cruise slip. If I put eight balls in corners without using pool sticks. Beautiful music when champagne flutes click, eh. Beautiful women sipping through rouge lips, eh. Danger approaches, we're like, wait, who's this? Let us save you some trouble, son, what size suit you in? This way, after the Ruger shoots through a few clips, you can lay in your casket just as you did. We appreciate the target practices. We'll be sure to send flower baskets, kid. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. Hold your applause. This is your song, not mine. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Fuck too kind. Do me a favor, don't do me no favors. I'll have to mine. I was gonna kill a couple rappers, but they did it to themselves. I was gonna do it with the flow, but they did it with the sales. I was gonna 9-11 them, but they didn't need to.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and took that one a little short, you know, because I was thinking about it. I don't know where everybody is, but right now the gas prices is too doggone high, so I don't know what we're gonna do about that. But maybe we can get some insight on that from our guest. Mr. Scala, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Lamont?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. I know you got a ton of things going on.
Not yet, but it's going to heat up real soon.
Well, of course, of course. So, like, well, let me see. Where are we going to go with this? Let's tell our listeners a little bit about Joe Scala. I've had the opportunity to try to educate myself as much possible. So let our listeners know, who is Joe Scala?
Well, I was born and raised in upstate New York. Served a tour in the Navy on an elite team in Virginia. Finished up my tour with the Chief of Naval Operations. Moved to California. Stayed in California for 18 years. And relocated in Nevada in 96 as a Henderson resident. Been involved in construction and the automobile business. Just an everyday guy, you know. I'm a tough guy. I do tough work. And I get the job done no matter what it is. I mean, no matter what I put my sights on, I pretty much get it done, Lamont.
Mm-hmm. And I guess being there in Henderson, you definitely have your finger on the pulse of, you know, the city's needs and the economy and all that good stuff.
You know, it's funny that, you know, that you mentioned that running for mayor was not my idea. It was a request from a former city councilwoman by the name of Kathleen Vermillion, who really became a good friend. And, you know, she was really instrumental for putting this idea in my head. And it's kind of funny. I'm like a dog with a bone. Once something gets put in my head, you know, I hang on to it pretty close. So, you know, for those that were wondering, you know, was this my idea? No. It was a request. Am I a politician? Absolutely not. I'm the furthest thing from a politician. And to be honest with you, there's not too many of them I have any respect for. Politicians seem to be more chameleon than anything else. I'm not a chameleon. I don't change colors. I don't grow spots. I am what I am. And, you know, for me to be mayor, I'm basically an extension of the Henderson residents. It's not my wish. It'll be their wish. I'm the enforcer. I'm the guy that'll see it through. I'm the guy that'll make it happen.
Well, that's very important. I mean, that's a good way to look at it, knowing that the office is really an extension of the people that you serve, and you're doing their bidding and not imposing your own objectives. Even though,
well, you know,
your own objectives is good.
Excuse me?
No, I was just saying, not totally instituting your own objectives. And then I also said that I guess some of that would be good, especially when you see improvement or corrections that need to be done. And then I guess at that point you will want to follow what you know is best, opposed to following the suit of, you know, the past gentleman.
Well, you know, I don't intend to follow anything that man did. You know, I walk my own walk. And too many promises are made. You know, Lamont, you don't know me. And for those that do know me, they will give testimony to one fact.
I hope you don't mind me bringing that out, because I think that's important for the listeners to hear and hear it from you.
No, you know, Lamont, let me tell you something. You know, I'm an open book. As a matter of fact, you know, when voted in, and I'm not going to say if, because I'm going to take a hard charge at this. And, you know, I kind of laugh when I say it's going to be a News at 6, Film at 11 campaign. I expect, and I, you know, we know they're going to come at me with everything they've got. You know, you know, they're gonna throw rocks, but unfortunately, as a good Christian in this arena, I have no intention of turning the cheek. So if they come at me, they better come at me loaded for bear, because, you know, you fire a shot across my bow, I'm going to fire one right back at you. And the thing is, you know, we have a wonderful community that, you know, the residents have absolutely no idea, Lamont, who the mayor is. I mean, you know, the mayor, to me, coming from the East Coast, you know, the mayor is the father figure. He's the big brother. You know, he's the protector. He's the tool that gets it done for the residents. And, you know, I have absolutely no intention of seeking endorsements from the police department, the fire department, the city employees. I expect and will hold those people accountable. I'm going to put the to protect and serve back on police cars, because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in years.
So would you coin yourself as being the people's mayor?
Yeah, the mayor is basically the people's wishes. And, you know, I intend to be that. I mean, you know, my cellular phone number will be readily available to all residents of Henderson. I always answer my phone. Unless I'm in the shower or unless I just can't hear it from equipment. So, you know, Lamont, I'm a funny guy, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be questions fired at me that I can't answer, nor will I attempt to. If I can't do a knee-jerk on a question, then they're going to have to understand. I will get back to them. And, you know, if it's something that is readily available within my fingertips, if it's a request, if it's something that I can do, I'll do it. If it's something that I have to rely on my staff to do, then hopefully my staff won't disappoint me, because if they do, really, to be blunt, I'll replace them. I have no problem with that.
And as you should. So I also understand that you were involved in, you know, some charities. Would you like to talk about any of those or campaign that you were involved in? I noticed one thing you were involved in was the Say No to Drugs campaign.
Yeah, that was in my early days when I left the Navy. I was involved with a little organization, a gentleman by the name of Jeff Popick. He was in charge of the Hollywood Stuntmen's Association. And back in the early 80s, California came out with a Say No to Drugs campaign that we volunteered time and produced a commercial. It was a fun commercial. It wasn't hard-hitting. It was just kind of like, an in-your-face, common-sense approach. And, you know, it was actually pretty successful, you know, for what it was at that time. It was a lot of fun, too, by the way.
Oh, okay. And let me change the channel real quick, and let me just jump over to my little favorite subject, which is the entertainment business. I see that you've had some background in that, and hopefully, you know, you could bring some new entertainment and new revenue to the city of Henderson. So what is your take on that?
Well, you know, I would love nothing less than to invite the studios to Henderson. We've got a great community up here, and, you know, we've got a lot of land, a lot of land that they can take advantage of. And, you know, it's not that, you know, I'm trying to take from California. I was a California resident for many years. But, you know, the studios, they want to broaden their horizon. And, you know, outside of the regime that's been firmly rooted for the last 20-some years, I intend to make it accessible. I want them to know that, yeah, Henderson's a friendly place. And, you know, we want the arts up here. I'd love to see the music industry up here. I'd love to see, you know, the movie industry up here, whether it be movies, whether it be, you know, syndicated shows, whether it be commercials. You know, I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to welcome it, and I'm going to actively seek it.
And that's you know, really great to hear, you know, because it really is change, time for a change in other guards. Two things that you said was important to me. I lived there in Henderson for several years, and one, I didn't know who the mayor was. Two, I am in the entertainment industry and have been for some time, and I know and have seen how Henderson and Las Vegas, Vegas really is starving for entertainment because of the old regime is still holding it, and quite frankly, they haven't realized yet that Donny and Marie is gone. You know what I mean? Nobody really cares no more. I mean, the Rat Pack is gone now. So, you know, come on. It's 2013. To generate new revenue, you have to have new things.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, I was on the air yesterday, and a question was fired off at me, you know, what I would like to see. And I said, you know, I'd like to bring theater to Henderson. And, you know, you're going to laugh, Lamont. But, you know, one of the guys said, well, what do you mean? We have theaters in Henderson. And I laughed. I said, not movie theaters. Come on, let's be real here. You know, and he kind of slumped in his chair and rolled off like, you know, like a little whoop puppy. You know, and I mean, come on. I mean, that's just an example of the way people think. I mean, we have no arts up here. You know, there's a couple of very small theaters that have just recently opened in Las Vegas. Henderson is an incredible, incredible community. You know, why is it everybody goes to Las Vegas? Well, you know what? Come to Henderson. We've got it. Not only do we have it, but it's a lot prettier.
Let me ask you a question. Is Lake Las Vegas considered Henderson as well?
Well, you know, it is a part of Henderson, absolutely.
Okay, and, well, I'll definitely throw my comment on that one. I don't know why people like going to the Strip when they don't know nothing about Henderson and Lake Las Vegas. I mean,
Lamont. They don't pump it. That's the problem. We have a complacent mayor that is just not on his game. You know, he's a retired police officer, wonderful family man. I mean, you know, the guy's got an incredible family, but you need to be a player. You need to be out there. You need to have a desire and a will and a want to make it happen. And not
exactly.
Only that, you need to walk the walk, talk the talk, and not be afraid to hear no. You know what? What is the worst thing that's going to happen to me? I go down, I meet with a studio exec. He says, no. Oh, wow. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I may have to bang on 10 doors, maybe 100 doors, but I can promise one thing. Very few people say no to Joe Scala, and sooner or later, I'll start to fill up these vacancies. It's pretty embarrassing for an incumbent to make a statement that I'm going to put the city in the black. Oh, really? You were on the city council for 22 years. You're an incumbent of four, and you're still making a promise we're going to put it in the black? I'm 55 years old, Lamont. I've never had a credit card in my life. That's how I live my life. If I can't afford to buy it, I don't buy it. I don't buy it on the IFCOM. So, you know, we need to maybe re-embrace that and not spend money in budgets we really don't have.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to say no, by the way. Okay? And, you know, I have another pet peeve with the city. You know, everybody has a regular job, you know, whether you be, you know, a family of a mom, dad, and children, or, you know, maybe how about a single mom, how about a single dad? You've got a full-time job. You need to do city business. Ooh, sorry, city's only open from 7:30 to 5:30, and that's 4 days a week, Lamont. I don't know if you're aware of that.
under my regime, whether they like it or not, the city will be open from 11 to 7, and that'll be 5 days a week. So our working residents will have access to the city. After all, the city is there to serve the residents, not the residents serve the city.
Exactly. Well, how do you see the in your future? I guess everybody is really concerned about employment.
Well, you know, Lamont, when you drive up the entrance, which is Water Street, to the city of Henderson, it's a ghost town, Lamont. It's business after business after business that's empty. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for big box business, but I'll tell you something that I hold a little closer to heart, having been raised in upstate New York. We didn't have big box business. We had small family-run businesses. And I believe firmly in my heart that if you're a resident and you have a business and they're both located in a city, really have a vested interest. You're not some big Fortune 500 company on the other side of the country that, you know what, they open up. If it doesn't work, they close up. We need to focus back on small, family-oriented business. They have a vested interest. They have children to raise. They have mortgage payments to make. I mean, come on. We got to get rid of this big corporate, big box thought process. I don't think it's healthy, because when they decide to move on, they really don't care.
Oh, that's true. They'll get up and outsource stuff in a minute and leave everything.
You're absolutely right. A lot of these big box companies, they have no allegiance to the United States of America. Half the stuff, what am I talking about? 7/10 of what's on their shelves comes from overseas. Really? We're Americans, we're proud Americans. You know what? There is absolutely no reason or excuse for this country to not be the manufacturing giant it was 40 years ago. I've got to tell you, this is probably the death of me. I don't have a lot of respect for the unions. There was a time and place, and that time and place is come and gone. And I'm a firm believer that everything in life is a curve. And as you hit the top of your curve, sometimes it's better to gracefully bow out and pass that torch onto new blood, new energy. We don't do that. You know, in politics, you look at these congressmen, you look at these senators, these guys have been rooted in office so long that, I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, you know, I believe in term limits on everything. Two terms. And after two terms, it's too long, you need to go. So, you know, America as a whole, they need to rethink politics. And I believe that politics start at the mayoral level. The mayor needs to be accessible, he needs to be accountable, and he needs to be tough. Like a good father, like a good mother. If you have the best interest at heart for your child, sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes, you know, you got to whack them on the butt. And I'm not saying I can go out there and whack my residents on the butt, but, you know, when a group of people come with a concern, you know, you have to listen to that concern. You have to be accessible. And, you know, Lamont, it's embarrassing to say, more people than not don't even know who the current mayor is. That's embarrassing. I mean, when you say Oscar Goodman, it's a knee-jerk. Oh, the mayor of Las Vegas. You say Mr. Andy Hafen, nobody even knows who it is. I can promise one thing. You say Joe Scala, you're going to know. I will do to Henderson what Oscar did to Las Vegas. I will put us on the map.
Well, that's definitely good to hear. I'm sure all the residents Definitely excited to hear that they finally will have a go-to guy in a position to really make things happen.
Well, I'll either be a go-to guy or I expect him to fire me, and I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I'm sure you're going to get it done. You definitely got the right idea. But listen, let me do this really quickly. For those of you that just joined in, we're talking live with Mr. Joe Scala. The call-in number, for those of you at home on the Internet, the call-in number is 646-929-2870. Hit number one on your phone, and we'll be glad to let you in to join the conversation. All right, Mr. Scala, I'm sorry, but I had to do that one.
Oh, no, no. You need to know, Lamont, you know, this is the third interview I've done. Probably a little rusty, and my big mouth will probably get me in trouble, so you'll have to forgive me or correct me. They're both one and the same.
Well, I don't think you could probably say anything wrong so far. You know, the people really need to know. I think, you know, and you corrected me off air, you know, with my misconceptions of a politician versus businessman, you know, so I'm a lot more educated as far as that's concerned. I know they're definitely separate and they could be one and the same, but I definitely think that you're definitely the man for the job, without a doubt.
You know, Lamont, when you think about a politician, typically, and history has proven that politicians do
let me get to you. I just want to say that normally what we refer to them on this show as, we refer to them as politicians.
I like that. I'm good with that. That works for me. That works for me. You know, it's funny. I mean, they'll do and say whatever it takes to gain a vote, and it's like an attorney, and, you know, attorneys are not high on my list either. You know, I've gone and I've had to use attorneys over the year, and it's, oh, Mr. Scala, well, you know, if you give us $10,000, $20,000, we're going to take care of it. Well, they took care of it all right. Then they come back and they say, well, you know, I tried hard. I guess it didn't work out. Well, I guess it didn't work out. How about give me the $20,000 back? That'll never happen. The same way when a politician makes a promise, how about stepping aside? How about letting somebody in there because you just didn't make it happen? And politicians that go from one term to the next and nothing changes but the promise. The only thing that changes is the promise. And they're like chameleons. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
That's the politicians for you.
You know, there's probably a lot of my friends that'll all concur with one thing. I almost live my life with a radar system. I'm a knee-jerk kind of guy. If a friend is a friend doesn't have to call and say, I have a problem. When they're a friend knows when a problem is there, and they're there. And if they're not, they're really not a friend. They're probably more like an associate. So if you're going to be the mayor of a city, you need to have your hands, you got to have your hands on the pulse. You have to be out there. You got to be amongst the people. You have to be willing to listen to their concerns. And if you're not available, well, you don't know what the concerns are. So I guess you're going to be a mayor that does his own thing. And, you know, Oscar Goodman was an incredible mayor because he was always accessible. I mean, it was meet the mayor on Thursday morning for coffee, and that guy did incredible things. He did incredible things. He did incredible things because it wasn't his own personal agenda. It was an agenda. As the wishes of the people. So,
well, that's
what
first and foremost, it seems like people, like when they elected into any office or any high post, seem like they really lose sight of what their true job, what their true responsibility is. They start working on their own personal agenda, whatever that may be.
Well, you know, and really, Lamont, those agendas come from special interests. You know, there was a question that I fielded yesterday about a police officer incident where an elderly gentleman was pulled over. He was having a diabetic seizure. The police officer interpreted that seizure wrongly as being either alcohol or drug related. And, you know, they put a little old whoop-a-ma session on this guy. And the police chief resigned in embarrassment. But, you know, the horrific part of the story is that police officer is still out there.
Wow.
Still out there. And,
so,
you know, they,
so the police chief, he resigned. But the actual officer that committed the incident is still employed.
Still employed. And,
wow.
You know, the question to me was, you know, how do you feel about that? And my answer, and, you know, I'll stand by this answer, 1 minute after the call I received on that incident would have been, you're fired. We don't need you. You need to move on. Okay, because... you know, and I do realize that, you know, it needs to be investigated. But, you know, I can promise you one thing. The funny thing about dashboard cams, and I mean, yeah, everybody's got cell phones. They've got camera phones. That thing was so blatant. So blatant that, you know, and you know, these, you know, the police officers, you know, they have pretty strong unions. You know, and these unions, you know, they naturally they're there to defend their own. But how do you defend an action like that? I mean, when the chief steps down, but the person involved, I mean, outside of getting his wrists smacked, I mean, nothing happens to him. And then the city has to pay out $250,000 in damages, and we've still got this guy driving around in a car? Come on, really? I don't think so.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm just blown away by the fact that the police chief would really resign his career and his service to the community because of one bad egg. How could he himself feel like he was personally responsible for that?
Well, come on, Lamont. When you sit in the top seat, you are responsible, okay? End of story. You know, if you're going to be a leader, you have to be a responsible leader. And if you don't know what your people are doing, then you need to go. End of story. You need to go. No ands, ifs, or buts. You need to go. And that person needed to step down because obviously, you know, police officers go through an intense 18-week training period, and after that, that's basically the end of it. They throw them out on the streets, and, you know, in general, police officers want to be police officers because they want to do the right thing. They want to be there. But, you know, I can understand where, you know, over the course of doing their duty and job and seeing what they see day in and day out, they change. And, you know, we don't keep a pulse on those changes. You know,
well, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you agree that regardless of your occupation, if you being a police officer, I understand they go through extensive training. But by the same token, if you're a bad apple and you go through extensive training, what does that mean for you as a police officer? Does that mean you any better? Are you that same guy that didn't have morals and principles, really, when you started in the academy?
Well, the thing is, you know, to answer your question, you know, you're an intensely trained bad apple, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, this is where these unions, they protect these people, and, you know, they just, you know, they get shuffled from one department to the next. You know, I believe that there has to be accountability. The police department is out there to protect and serve, not bully, harass, and badger, okay? And, you know, I mean, you know, here, now let me throw a statistic out to you. in the Henderson courts last year, do you have any idea what the revenue for driving citations was in the city of Henderson?
No, I have no idea.
Take a stab.
$150,000.
How about $8 million?
Whoa.
$8 million. Are you kidding me? I've got news for you. I've got friends of mine that are Metro cops that will they won't drive in Henderson for any reason.
Whoa.
People are terrified to drive in Henderson. When you have an $8 million revenue from driving citations, what does that tell you? If you have X number of police officers, how many tickets a day do they have to write? How many tickets are written that should have been warnings? I mean, people are people. You know, I mean, we make mistakes. I mean, unless it is blatantly, you know, negligent. I mean, come on. You know, you pull somebody over that has a 15-year pristine driving record, and because, you know, you guys are writing X number of tickets a day, you cite that person and you absolutely plate their driving record. You know, insurance companies, you know, they love to raise rates. They raise rates not because of pristine driving records, but because of driving infractions. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's a big money mill. It's a money mill that I just personally don't like. I don't like it at all. So, change there. I think that the police need to be more proactive. And I'll tell you another pet peeve of mine. I'm a firm believer that if you want to protect and serve our community, you need to live in it. Because if you don't live in it, you don't have anything vested outside of that paycheck.
True. You're right. You're absolutely right. You have nothing invested. You really don't care. It's a job. You come there to make money and go home.
Well, you know, and basically, you know, you're making money, you know. And, you know, I don't know what goes on in the watch room. I'm not privy to it. But I can only imagine if they're generating $8 million a year in traffic-related citations, I can only imagine that is there a little pressure being put on these people to write tickets? I have no idea. I can't answer the question. It's not my watch. But when it is my watch, I can promise my residents one thing. I'll have the police chief sitting in front of me, and I'll ask that question directly.
What happened to that? Well, not to jump back on the other page, but what happened to, like, the watch commander of that cop that beat up the elderly gentleman?
Well, you know, we're not privileged to that information. And, you know, I'll tell you another thing. I really don't have a lot of faith in the media today. I believe the media, they've grown to develop their own agenda also. You know, there was a time when, you know, in a community, you had a community newspaper, and, you know, the community newspaper was the watchdog, you know, for its residents. I mean, they're the ones that they kept an eye on the local politicians. They keep an eye on, you know, city and government, and today, I mean, we're losing that.
Well, do you think that's a part of them being strangled economically, where they have to either not falsify the news, I don't really want to say that, but do other little things to supplement their income so they can still survive?
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, I almost believe it's a big brother mentality. I mean, news reporting today is not what news reporting was when you know, I was a young man. Not that I'm an old man, but, you know, I'm a mature man now, and I know that when I was in my 20s, you know, the news consisted you know, of world news, national news, local news. But, you know, you always had your human interest stories. I mean, and you just don't see any of that anymore. Now it's...
I think the news is censored. Like you said, they do have their own agenda. They pick and choose what they want to put out there to the citizens.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, we definitely have to see what's going on with that in terms of the media. Cause I agree with you 150% that there was once upon a time where the papers did report the news, the television reported the news, and they didn't have any other outside agendas.
Last night I spent the better part of 2 hours on the phone with the local editor of our local paper. And, you know, I made him a promise, but at the same time I made him make me a promise. And my promise to him was to always be available and to always be frank and honest with any questions. And at the same time, I wanted him to feel comfortable if he heard something in the community and it related to our office, that he should not ever feel as though he can't pick that phone up and fire that question. And at the same time, I expected the same back from him. I asked him that if you hear something out there, I should be the first person you call. Because, you know, it just needs to be that way. We have to put the C back in community. Okay, and, you know, I'm going to reinstitute and re-implement town hall meetings. Listen, you want me to do a job, I need to know what it is you want me to do. So that means, you know, you're going to have to get away from your color TV, and you're going to have to get in your car, and you're going to have to come down to the city building, and we're going to have these town hall meetings. You have to tell me what's wrong in your neighborhood. You know, I mean, I can be out there, but I can't be everywhere. We're a large community. We have, you know, close to 300,000 residents. So if you have concerns, if you have wishes, you need to know that the mayor's going to listen and the mayor's going to make it happen. And if he doesn't, well, then you need to fire me and find somebody else. But I can promise you one thing. I'm not a law writer. Okay, it's not going to be my intention to go in there and write about. We've got too many laws on the books now. For crying out loud, I mean, I don't think there's a human being in the United States that doesn't break at least one law a day. You know, we need to get rid of some of these ridiculous laws, and we need to put the people back in people. You know, the P back in people. People need to be responsible. They need to be good parents. They need to be good neighbors. I mean, you know, stop expecting government to take care of everything. You know, you're married, you know, you got your big boy pants on, you got your big girl pants on. You know, stop looking at the government to take care of every wish and need, you know. But at the same time, you know, government is the extension of the people. So, you know, it's a dual-edged sword, Lamont. And it's one that I have to wield very carefully, and I'm willing to do that if voted in. We'll see.
Well,
I'm kind of a wild card here, buddy.
Hey, look, hey, well, definitely, man, get rid of that $8 million a year, boy. That's scary. If people are scared to come to the community and scared to drive, that definitely has to impact the city.
I don't understand how this city has managed to go as far as it has, and nobody's complaining about this. I mean, you drive down the street, you see someone that's pulled over for a traffic stop, and there's three cop cars there. I mean, come on, really? You don't have something else to do? It takes, you know, three cars to write somebody a speeding ticket? You got to be kidding me, right? And, you know, for them to come back and say, you know, they're concerned about the safety of the officer, well, if the officer is that concerned and that scared, he doesn't belong wearing that badge.
That's true. That's true. And what is the actual crime rate of Henderson right about?
You know, our crime rate really is considerably lower than that of Las Vegas, North Las Vegas. Our crime rate is, you know, it is low. I'm not going to say that's because of the police department. I'm going to say in general, it's because we're a good community. You know, we do look out for one another. And, you know, when people look out for one another, and I don't mean being busybodies, but I mean, you know, they have a genuine concern and interest in their neighbors. Yeah, it's a good place to live. It's a wonderful place to live.
Well, I've had a good experience living there. I never had a problem. And that's why I was asking about the crime rate, because it's very low or minimal. And you do see 2-3 police on the staff, and there's really nothing for them to do, I guess.
No. It's not that. Don't say that. That's not exactly true. There's plenty for them to do, and if they don't have something to do, then they need to go home. They're, you know, officers need to patrol, and they need to field the calls that are, you know, dispatched to them. And mm-hmm. I just don't believe that there should ever be a situation, you know, a normal traffic stop that requires 2 and 3 police cars. I mean, come on. You know, those are resources that could be used more proactively.
Well, let me do you have anything that you have coming up that you want the listeners to know about, any appearances or any functions where you'll be appearing?
Well, you know, Lamont, we officially file Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. As of 10:01, once I signed my John Henry on that piece of paper, my friends and my campaign committee, I didn't go out and hire a professional campaign manager. I didn't go out and hire a professional fundraiser, nor do I intend to. We're going old school with this. We're going to take it door to door. So, you know, once I'm officially filed as a candidate, I promise to call you back with all that great little information.
Well, great. Well, give our listeners, I know you have an email or contact information or anything that you would like to give them where people can contact you, send communication or whatever it is you would like our listeners to have.
Well, you know, and I realize a lot of your listeners are not residents of Henderson, but, you know, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't be interested in hearing what they have to offer. So, you know, share it. And you can share it by emailing me at joe.scala@aol.com. My campaign page is electjoescala.com. And I'll do something most people don't do. I'll give out my cellular number, which is area code 702-409-5861.
Well, great. Well, definitely, I want to thank you from everybody over here at the World Movement Records and kind of play a place for taking time out of your busy schedule to come out and share with our listeners who you are. And we do have a tremendous listenership there in Vegas and Henderson. Like I said, I've had the opportunity to live there for 3-4 years. So,
you know, Lamont,
like a semi-resident.
There you go. But, you know, I appreciate you putting me on the air this afternoon. And, you know, it's really important for the listeners to understand, you know, I'm a tough guy. I've always had to be a tough guy because of the industry I've been involved with. You have to lead by example. In the construction industry, I never led from the desk. It's not uncommon to see me in a trench on a piece of equipment, handling material, interfacing with the client designing the job. In the car business, you know, it's not uncommon to see me under a car, over a car, polishing a car. You know, and that's the way I intend to be mayor. I'm single, have been for a very long time. I have no children. So my family is, you know, the city of Henderson. So, you know, there's no excuse for me to not be available. And I intend to be that. I intend to be available. And, you know, if my residents, you know, feel that, you know, I don't deserve that post, then I guess I won't have it. And if I do have it and, it, you know, they ever feel as though I don't warrant that post, then I'll gracefully step down and find somebody that can.
Well, I know some of your, I guess, views kind of run parallel to somewhat of our president as far as being able to get things done and want to be that guy for the people and really respect and understand the office that you're seeking, and I'm pretty sure you will have it. I mean, once you've already claimed it, so I know it's yours without a doubt. And anything we can do from over here, you know, just consider it done.
Well, Lamont, once again, I'd like to thank you for taking the time. I'd like to thank your listeners. And I'm available if you have ideas, suggestions, if you have concerns, issues, just fire out a shout out. And I promise I will return calls. I will return emails.
We want to see some new live entertainment in the city of Henderson. We want to see some new stuff because we're tired of seeing the same old stuff repeatedly, and then people want to understand where are the people.
You know, Lamont, we walk this walk once in, you know, I mean, unless somebody's got a revelation that we're going to be coming back after we pass. I mean, I'm 55. And I'm a little tired of seeing the same old, same old. I don't eat chicken every night. Sometimes I eat meat. Sometimes I eat fish. Sometimes I eat salad. I am sick to death of these career politicians. I mean, this country has been stagnant for the better part of 40 years.
Mr. Scala, it's politicians.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. I for correcting me on that.
Yeah. I don't want you to make a mistake. You called the wrong person that they face.
Well, you know, it's definitely not going to be about the paycheck. I can promise you that. Like I said, this was a request from somebody that was very important to me, that was a councilwoman that became victimized by a politician with his own personal agenda. So I made her a promise that I don't ever put myself in a position of being victimized, okay? And I don't turn the cheek. So if I do something wrong, I'll stand in front of the masses and I'll say, you know what? I made a mistake. Now, considering I'm a pretty proud, old school kind of guy, I generally don't make that a policy. So I don't make false promises. I just don't make promises, period. You come to me, if I can make it happen, I'll make it happen. If I can't make it happen and I have to delegate it, and they disappoint me, and it was a disappointment because they just didn't do as requested, I'll fire them. You know, I've got a Trump attitude. You're fired. I don't have a problem with that. And if I don't perform, I expect to be fired.
As you should be. Unlike a lot of those other people that were grandfathered in, on and on and on and on.
Well, I just think it's time. I want to become an integral part of this community. I want to be the watchdog. I want to be the big brother. I want to convey the wishes, and I want to be the enforcer.
And, you know, politicians, they're none of that. Politicians are afraid to make a stand. They waffle. I don't eat waffles. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. So hopefully there's enough Henderson residents out there listening right now that, you know, give me a call. If you don't like what you hear or if you like what you hear, I sure need to hear it, especially before Tuesday. Because, like I said, Lamont, I'm an all-in kind of guy. So, you know, at 10 o'clock when I sign that paperwork, you might say it's on.
All righty then. And like I said, we're definitely looking forward, and we already know that you're going to do wonderful things for the city, which is definitely time, you know, without a doubt. Henderson is a great place to live, a great place to raise the family, and I can't say enough about Lake Las Vegas. I totally feel like that's a good secret that shouldn't be, because it's a very beautiful place, you know, a nice casino.
And it's never been promoted. You know, there's an incredible amount of talent in America that, because it's never represented or promoted properly, you just never hear about. You know, I love that show American Idol and some of the other shows where, you know, they open, you know, the door for and to people that had that arena never been available, you know, would never get the opportunity because, you know, the entertainment industry, especially the record industry, they all have their own agendas too. And if you're not popular, if you, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on that don't go on with American Idol. And I just dig it. You know, I mean, I think we need more of that. You know, we need that in local government. We need to be open book. We need to be out there. We need to be readily available, accessible, and accountable. You know, and I will be accountable. And in the same way I expect to be accountable, the people that work in my departments will be accountable, whether that be the police department, the fire department, the city workers, the city officials. You're on my team. We are a team. And, you know, the same way if somebody attacks one of my members of my team or one of my employees, I expect to be the big brother. I'll stand up for them. If they're right, they've got me. If they're wrong, they've got me. So, you know, is it a new approach? No. This is an old approach. This is an approach that, you know, goes way back to the beginning of our very country, and we need to bring it back a little bit, just modernize it.
It sounds like basically bottom line principles, integrity, commitment, and responsibility.
Well, you know, that's the way I was raised. I mean, I remember my dad, he passed away a couple of years ago. You know, I can honestly say dad took the belt to me one time, never happened a second time. And same way with my mother, that was the same way with my grandparents. We learned early in life that there was a right way and a wrong way. And, you know, the water for me as a young person was I've gotten cold, never warm. The problem today is I think that's all these young know is warm. They don't understand
right.
The difference between hot and cold. There's no repercussion. There's no punishment. There's no responsibility. There's no expectability. There's no respectability. I mean, it's just,
right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to cut you off, but we got out to the last couple seconds of the show, and I definitely want to invite you back. But I also want to tell our listeners that the show will be available. If you can't join us late, the show will be available immediately after the show online. You can download it and hear the entire show with Mayor-elect Joe Schuyler. And hopefully we'll be able to have him come back in a week or so and bless us with all the good news. But I just wanted to interject that real quick before we ran out of time. And I want to thank you again, Mr. Schuyler. You've been a wonderful guest, and good luck. And I know you do a wonderful job.
Thank you, Lamont, and thank the listeners. And hope to hear from you real soon.
All right. You have a blessed day, and thanks again. That was Mr. Joe Schuyler, Mayor-elect from Henderson, Nevada, and join in. And from always, we kind of play a play. We look to bring you the best and the new news, local and international. Check us out, kind of play a play, blogtalkradio.com/player. Blessings. Yeah.
This is a public service announcement from the good folks over here at Kenna Play Play. For the members of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, it goes something like this. We the people of this country do not need rhetoric. We need solutions. We don't need promises. We need performance. We do not care about...